Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome back to the Sports Brunch. Apologize for that that short delay as we had to manipulate our way around my little mishap when I scheduled the show. But we are back. We are live. And Chris, do I have you on right now? Because I don't hear your any background noise. Chris, you there? All right, I do not hear Chris yet. So Chris, you're going to have to hang up and call back. I don't know why I don't have you, but call back. And we'll get Chris in a minute. So Mike Gallo, first contestant on the Beat the Brunch segment. We wish him all the best. Chris and I are going to resume this segment now and tell you about who our final locks are. So Chris, do I have you now?
Yes, I'm back.
Okay. All right, cool. All right, so Chris, we have two of your picks that that were teased during Mike's segment. So you agreed with Mike on the Giants, and then you also had opposite of Mike in the Rams Raiders game. You have the Raiders; he has the Rams. So so I could catch up with you and have two of my own on the board here. I had my first one was the Ravens -6.5. Right now, I will give my second one, which is the earliest one this week. I'm taking the Atlanta Falcons tomorrow night +2.5. I'm trusting the money here. This line has come all the way down. It was like 4.5 for the Eagles. It's all the way down to like 1 now, 1.5, 1. I'm trusting the money. I don't think that Nick Foles has looked very good. I know he was great in the playoffs last year. I'm not buying the Foles train in week one of this year. I think the Falcons come out and actually win this game tomorrow night. So that is my number two lock. So now we are on the level playing field here, two each. Chris,
you know,
would
I'm
you like
very
to go
torn
ahead?
About that game.
Oh,
I want to talk about it for just a minute, just because it's the opener of the season. And I am very torn on that game. I actually went with the Eagles, not at the lock, but I picked them. I went back and forth quite a bit. I do have a feeling that the Falcons may be better this year. I also agree that I don't think Nick Foles is that good. However, I think where everyone is saying, oh, Foles struggled in the preseason, he's going to have, you know, aside from Alshon Jeffrey, the full complement of starters, he's also going to have a coaching staff that, like they did in that playoff run, is solely focused on helping him succeed. So I don't know. I get the feeling that we may see a better Foles than what we've seen. I also get the feeling that now that everybody is again, you know, calling the Eagles the underdogs, hating on the Eagles, even though they're not technically the underdogs. There may be some bulletin board material, plus the fact they're defending, you know, they're the defending champs coming out, getting the rings and everything. But at the same time, I could see them, you know, maybe falling flat after the Super Bowl and having a hungry Falcons team getting them. So I think it's going to be a great game, a coin toss. I could not come to a decision, but I can see where you like the Falcons there.
All right, so let's go to Sunday now, where I assume you have some picks. Let's hear it. What's your next pick, your number three lock of the week?
So I have two more Sunday picks. Excuse me. The rest of mine are Sunday, so I'm not going to that Jets-Lions game. I already have the Raiders and the Giants, both 3.5 home dogs. I'm going to take another dog. This one is going to be the Houston Texans, +6.5 in New
England.
This
one's risky.
Yeah, it is a little risky. I'm not quite sure about the Patriots this year. I think that, you know, the receiving core, while they will have Gronk and Chris Hogan, there's really not going to be much else there. And you've got a pretty solid Texans defense that's now healthy, going to come after Tom Brady. And I like Deshaun Watson a lot. We'll get to this more in our AFC preview, but I kind of like the Texans to win that division, the AFC South. And I think Watson, you know, I know that he just is coming off the injury, the torn ACL, and I'm a little worried how his body may respond right off the bat. But I do think that the injury happened early enough in the year to the point where, you know, we're going to get close to the best of Deshaun Watson. And he's got a very good he's got a pretty good skill core. The biggest problem is that offensive line, but I don't really think the Patriots have the pass rushers to get them. So I think, you know, the Texans are probably, in my opinion, not 3.5 points worse than the Patriots. Combine that with maybe Brady overlooks the home opener again like he did last year, Maybe, you know, he's not really focused as he is when the playoffs roll around, and it's entirely possible that Deshaun Watson's arm or his legs could create a backdoor cover here.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I will say is if you want to bet against the Patriots, it's better to do it early in the season than as the season goes on. I feel like lately they've been a little sluggish in September, and then they get things rolling after that. So the Texans played the Patriots really well last year in New England when Deshaun Watson played, and I think they covered the game and almost won. I think they should have won. There was a rigged call at the end that went the Patriots' direction. I think it was like a touchdown in the end zone or something. But anyway, all right, so Chris is on Houston plus 6.5. That's his number three. My next lock, I'm going to take the Cleveland Browns plus 5.5. I think the Browns are going to be like an actual team this year. They're not going to be the lowly 1-31 Browns that we've seen in the past. They actually have pretty good players on their offense. Tyrod Taylor has been a quarterback that wins games, and you know, Carlos Hyde, Jarvis Landry, they finally have some offensive weapons. I think this line's just too high. I mean, Pittsburgh, a lot of distraction around them right now. I don't even think Le'Veon Bell is going to play at this point. Ben Roethlisberger has not impressed me the last few. Well, actually, you know, as the season went on last year, so I just think this line is if the Cleveland Browns were the Cleveland Browns of old. I think the Browns are going to be serviceable this year. So 5.5. Did I have it as 5.5 or 4.5? I forget the actual.
4.5, actually.
Okay, so 4.5. I'm still taking it. I will take the Cleveland Browns plus 4.5. That's my number three.
And to be honest, you probably can't even get it at 4.5 anymore.
What is it down to?
I think it's 3.5 now.
Really? Yeah. The pool that I'm in, the weekly pool, has it at 5.5. I was being conservative.
Right, I see 4 right now.
Okay. All right. So we have to put the halves on because we don't want any ties. So 4.5 is my pick there.
Okay. So then we will move on to my fourth lock of the week, and that is going to be a team that I think is the sleeper of the NFL this year, and it's hard to find sleepers because, you know, everybody kind of hitches their wagon to one, and then all of a sudden they're no longer a sleeper. I like the Denver Broncos this year. I think they're going to be kind of good. I think they've got a shot to win that AFC West if the Chargers do their natural collapse. And this team, you know, Case Keenum, say what you want about him, but he had a very good year last year. He's going to go to a team that has some solid weapons around him. And the defense kind of fell apart last year. I think they're going to bounce back a little bit, and this should be just a very solid all-around team. So I don't think they really may have the ceiling as some of the other teams, but I think Denver could be good. I think they might surprise people, and they're essentially being called a worse team than the Seahawks by this line. They're favored by 2.5 at home, so they're saying the Seahawks are a half point better than them, which is kind of confusing to me since I don't know if the Seahawks have anyone on their roster besides Russell Wilson, although I guess Earl Thomas reported today, so they might have two players. But I think Seattle is going to struggle a bit this year. I think Wilson and just that infrastructure will be able to make them competitive at times. But there's going to be some games where I just don't think they're going to have it, and this is one of them. So I'm going to go with the Broncos here as a home favorite, laying 2.5.
You know, I saw power rankings today. I think from some guy on NFL.com had the Seahawks 27th. I thought that was a little extreme, but
that's quite extreme.
I mean,
I've seen the Cowboys,
the thing is,
that
they still
have
a top 10 quarterback.
Exactly. That's a good point. That will win you some games in the NFL. I just don't know if it'll be this one.
Yeah. All right. So Seahawks, Broncos minus 2.5 for Chris. My number four, I'm going out to Arizona, and I am fading the Arizona Cardinals. I'm going to take the Skins and basically a pick them. They're getting a half a point here in Arizona. I think they're just clearly the better team, and it's kind of one of those things where I think the Cardinals are a little overrated, and I think the Redskins are a little underrated here. I trust Alex Smith more. I trust the Redskins more. Brand-new coaching staff in Arizona. I think things are going to kind of unravel early for the Cardinals. So I actually like the Redskins to go in there, play a ball control game, take care of the ball, you know, dink and dunk their way down the field. And Alex Smith have a nice game here to start his season. and start his career as a Redskin. So I have the Skins plus a half as my fourth lock.
Yeah, I'm wondering, not to go against your pick, but I am wondering if the Cardinals may not be as bad as everyone's saying. I mean, I know that the chances of Sam Bradford staying healthy are kind of slim, but this team still has some talent on defense. They have David Johnson, they have Larry Fitzgerald, and they've got Bradford, and he's backed up by what people are saying is, you know, the most ready rookie quarterback in Josh Rosen. So I think Arizona might surprise some people. This could be one of those games, you know, they've got a good home field advantage. But I do like the Redskins this year, too. So solid pick. And I will finish off my Joe, we haven't even agreed on any of these. So
yeah, but I think this last one is we agree on.
Oh, we do? Okay. All right, well, then let's get right into it. Sunday Night Football, the Khalil Mack-led Bears. I'm guessing you got Chicago because I got them. I think 8.5 is the line. Packers favored by 8.5.
Yeah.
It's just too many. I understand Aaron Rodgers, Lambeau Field, first game of the season, but that's a lot of points, more than a touchdown, and you've got a Bears defense that's licking its chops now, feeling all hyped up. Mitch Trubisky has a good amount of weapons, and the Packers, as they've been in Aaron Rodgers' tenure, just aren't very good around him. So I have a feeling that, you know, we're going to see a competitive game here on Sunday Night Football. I think we'll see a close game, and the Bears are going to, you know, make some noise and kind of live up to the hype they're now getting with the Khalil Mack trade, even if they don't win the game. So I've got Chicago, and I guess you do too.
Yeah, the Bears are getting a lot of hype lately, and I've been going back and forth on whether or not I want to be in or out on the hype. But, you know, I look back at the way they played last year, and I did kind of like how they played in down the stretch when Trubisky kind of got into his into the flow, into their offense. I mean, they were kind of hot and cold at the end of the year, but they did put together some good performances, including a pretty good performance when they played at Green Bay last year, only lost by 7. I feel like they've been playing the Packers better of late. I mean, the Packers have dominated this quote-unquote rivalry, which I hate how this is called a rivalry because the Bears, I don't think, have beaten the Packers maybe once in the last 5 to 10 years. But I think that it's finally starting to tighten again. The Bears' defense is going to be pretty solid. I think from what I'm hearing, Trubisky is going to be thriving in this Nagy system. So I'm optimistic about the Bears. And like you said, that's a lot of points to be given up if you're a Packer backer here. I'm going to take the Bears as well. So we are in agreement on one of our five, which leaves Mike Gallo an opportunity here to get some games. I mean, you know, we only agreed with him on one pick each. So he's got – the door is open if we kind of struggle for him to pick up a victory here and move on to the next round.
Yeah, I mean, Gallo, I think if he can get – if Green Bay covers that game, he's sitting pretty because then he's agreeing with us and one other, and then he's got a leg up on us there. So he's going to be a big Packer fan come Sunday night.
Yep. All right, so we will tweet out those picks tomorrow during the day. That's Thursday. So everything will be out before the game tomorrow night starts. And then we wish Gallo luck. And actually, you know, there's incentive for us, too. It's not just like we're trying to beat our guests. We're trying to beat each other here, too. So this should be a very interesting thing that we do weekly here. And as always, and as we mentioned earlier, if you want to get on this segment, anyone could be the special contestant for the week. We already had one guy DM us on Twitter wanting to get in, so he'll probably be our week two contestant. But if you want to get in, make sure you DM us on Twitter or Instagram or wherever, really, wherever you can find us, and let us know you want to be on, and we'll schedule you in. So our Twitter is @TheBrunchPod. Instagram is @TheBrunchNetwork. You could email us, TheBrunchNetwork@gmail.com. A lot of different ways to get in touch with The Brunch and get on this segment. So get to that right as you listen, right as you're listening right now, so you don't forget and so you're able to participate for a chance to win. I mean, it's about winning.
Yeah, I mean, there's only room for 16 more contestants. Keep that in mind.
Right.
So you want to get on that waiting list. sooner rather than later.
Right. All right, so if you want to call in at any point today, talk about anything else, 818-688-6658. That is 818-688-6658. We have two more things to do in our in the back end of our show here, back end second half hour. We will start with Brunch Madness as we – that's what we were going to start with until the time crunch came into play. But we will get to that now. The final that we predicted and the final that the most people that submitted brackets predicted, it's Cinnamon Toast Crunch versus Reese's Puffs.
Yeah, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, again, is still on this incredible run where, you know, like we said, we've never seen a Brunch Madness dominate quite like them. And Frosted Flakes, they were hot coming into this one, and Cinnamon Toast Crunch just ran them straight over. So the question is, I know that the Reese's Puffs may have some Brunch Madness experience, if you will, with Reese's Peanut Butter Cups winning the candy bracket, but is that going to be enough to put up a fight against Cinnamon Toast Crunch? This could just be a runaway. This could be a, you know, a Kentucky Anthony Davis team where no one really had a shot, and I don't know. It
Chris,
doesn't seem
Gallo
to me like it's
going
to go any other way.
Are you going to use Kentucky as an example instead of the most recent Villanova team?
Well, that's fair, but I think that the Kentucky team, I guess, you know, if we're talking tournament, that makes sense, but that Kentucky team, I feel like, really dominated the college basketball season from start to finish. But I agree. That's a good analogy there. I don't know. I don't really see any way that Cinnamon Toast Crunch is not, you know, become the third Brunch Madness champion following the office and the Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Yeah, I got to agree. I mean, as much as I want to say that this is going to be a contest and it's going to be competitive, and I was actually surprised at how well Lucky Charms performed. They actually only lost by 13 votes, which was pretty impressive. I thought they were going to lose by more than that. But I don't think that this is going to be much of a contest. Let's actually, because we both think that there's no shot for Reese's Puffs, it's not interesting for us to sit here and say Cinnamon Toast Crunch is going to win it all. Chris, give me a percentage. What is Cinnamon Toast Crunch going to get to, percentage-wise?
Percentage-wise, combined, I think they're going to get at least, I'm going to say 68%. And
I
think
66
that'll,
in mind.
Yeah, okay, well, there you go. I think they'll attribute, they'll have a good, I think, 40 to 50 vote lead. And, you know, I think there's going to be – it's weird. I thought maybe there would be, you know, sometimes the backers for some of these cereals. The biggest obstacle can sometimes be your haters, you know. And I thought maybe Cinnamon Toast Crunch might have some haters and some people who just don't like it, similarly to how we talked about Game of Thrones. And some people are just like, no, I'm just anti-Game of Thrones. I will fade them in any way possible. But that's not the case with Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and they have come to play every single day, and I don't see it to be any differently. Reese's Puffs, it would be a minor miracle if they could. I really don't think it'll be that close, too, which is a shame.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing working for them is the experience. I mean, the thing with Reese's, get involved on Twitter because, you know, you've seen this story. I'm pretty sure,
mm-hmm.
Didn't Reese's participate? And to
they
a
did.
Certain extent,
they did.
In
yes.
In the other, they did, right?
Yes, they got involved. They did some Twitter action with their Twitter account, and I mean, no coincidence, they won Brunch Madness, the inaugural version. So I don't see any reason why the Reese's. I mean, with the championship, we are on the eve of the championship. You really have to assume that the Reese's contingent. The calls are being made throughout the office, throughout all of the headquarters of Reese's. It's got to get to the cereal division because if it doesn't, you're in a lot of trouble, Reese's.
Yeah, I wonder maybe the cereal division is like in the basement and like no one really cares about them.
Yeah, maybe they're like the black sheep of the corporation.
Right. I mean, the cups are so much more popular. Even the pieces might even be more popular than the cereal.
Very,
but the Brunch Madness fans love the cereal, so maybe we'll see a minor miracle happen tomorrow. But We both highly doubt it. We do have a lot of ideas for Brunch Madness 4, but if you have a Brunch Madness idea, we always want to hear your suggestions. And I actually think we usually set these up on Google Sheets. I think we have like 3 different sheets right now that are in progress but haven't been completed yet. And we're kind of juggling what we want to do next.
Yeah, we're always scheming, so we'll get something good again.
All right, so that's it for Brunch Madness. We will crown a champion tomorrow, or actually, I guess technically the champion will be crowned Friday. The poll will go up tomorrow around 10 a.m. Eastern time. Let's finish out, let's close out our show today by getting into the AFC season win totals. We did the NFC last week, and Gallo had something to say. He said we were too pessimistic about a lot of teams. And
Maybe all our overs are in the AFC. You didn't think
that's
about
what
that,
I was
going to
say.
You?
We'll see. Maybe all our overs are in the AFC, and maybe the NFC is just being overrated. Everyone's talking about how great the NFC is this
year.
Maybe the AFC surprise. All right. So, Chris, let's start it up.
Let's start where we would start all things, and that's with the New England Patriots, the defending AFC champs, the class of the conference. This, as I alluded to earlier, I'm a little unsure of this team. I wonder if it's, you know, they're going to be good. They're almost definitely going to win the division. But is their demise going to begin this year? And the over-under total for the Patriots, 11. The over is minus 140. The under is plus 120. So heavy juice on the over. What do you got here?
Oh, man. I mean, it's really hard. It's difficult to take an under with the Patriots. I mean, even though there's heavy juice there, who would ever think the Patriots are going to win less than 11 games? I know that they're banged up offensively. There's some suspensions. The running back situation, there's some injuries there. But until they win less than 11, which who wins less than they did that, you got to take them to go over. So I'm gonna say over 11 wins for the Pats.
Yeah, I'm gonna go over too. I think they can get to 12, and it does help when you are in a division with Miami, Buffalo, and the Jets. That's six not gimmies right there, but it would be a shock to see them go worse than 5-1. So I'll take the over as well, and then we can move into the next team in that division by the over-under win total, which appears to be the Miami Dolphins, and their over-under is set as 6.5. I mean, that is a 4.5 differential in the first and second place
team.
Is there
even
a line
on
the over.
Patriots to win the division this year?
I think it's like minus 1,000 or something. Just not even making it not even worth a bet. But 6.5, the over is minus 120, and the under is plus 100. That's the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, man. I don't know much about the Dolphins' defense. I know their offense is probably going to be what it always is, but I don't know much about their defense this year. But you know what? I'll go over for the Dolphins because there's got to be wins that come somewhere in this division, and I really think the Bills suck. And I think the Bills might be the worst team in the AFC and maybe even the NFL. And the Jets, I don't know what to make of the Jets. 6.5, the fact that there's overjuice, I don't love. But I feel like the Dolphins always win that one game at home against the Pats. And if they win that, then all of a sudden they only need 6 wins from elsewhere. I don't know. I'm going to say over for the Dolphins.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning over too. Although, like you, I'm not entirely thrilled with it. I don't want to trust this team too much, and I don't want to.
Their schedule's pretty
kinda
light.
Talk, yeah, I don't want to talk myself into Ryan Tannehill, but I think there's a chance he could make this offense somewhat competent. Their schedule is kind of light. I mean, they start off the year home versus the Titans, at the Jets, home to the Raiders. I think it's entirely possible to see 2-1. They're only point and a half dogs to the Titans. So, and then of course they've got other easy games in there. You said they do host the Jets again later. They've got two with the Bills. They do have to face the Vikings and the Jaguars and the Packers, but there's also a potential easy home game with the Lions and then Bengals and Colts. Who knows what that is? So I'm going to take Miami over as well. I think that they can get 7 wins, but that's probably all they'll get to. And then let's move on to those New York Jets. And Sam Darnold, the over here is 6. 6 over plus 105. 6 under is minus 125. And this is a tough one because I think Darnold, I like him as a quarterback. I think he's going to be very good in the league. I just don't know when that's going to happen. I don't know how soon in this year into the season we will see it. So what do you think there?
I'll take the over here too, because you got to figure either the Jets or the Dolphins are going over. And I think both could go over if Darnold's good, which I think he's kind of leaning towards being good. I think the worst case, I don't want to say worst case, but I think that the Jets will have a decently reasonable time getting to 6. And then once you're at 6, who knows what happens. But the Jets offense outside of Darnold, his supporting cast, it's actually not bad. I mean, they have decent receivers. Robbie Anderson was great last year. Kurse is banged up, but he's good. They get a Nunwa back who was really emerging 2 years ago before his injury. So the receivers are good. The running back core is pretty solid with Powell and Crowell. The Jets' offense is not bad, and Bowles is a defensive guy. You figure he's going to figure something out on the defense. I think the Jets could win 6 games.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think the offense is going to surprise some people. I think that Darnold is going to kind of come on eventually. And if you think about it, this team won 5 games last year, and it's not going to be – I would have a hard time believing it's going to be worse. So I like the Jets to go slightly over and surprise some people. I think that's a good point. Either the Jets or the Dolphins, they should be good or at least semi-competent. So there's 3 overs right there. We're very positive people here, but one place that it's very hard to be positive in the NFL is in Buffalo.
I don't even know
Bills,
what this
the
one
over,
is. What?
The over 5.5 is plus 110, and the under is minus 140. I'm going to have to go under here. I just don't see how this team – I'd be shocked if they get to 5 wins. I'd lay the juice there if I really had to. It's ugly in Buffalo, and there's just not much room for optimism.
Yeah, I got to agree. I'm going under here for the Bills, too. That's heavy juice to lay, but – I mean, I think this could be a 2 or 3 win team.
Yeah, it's gonna be pretty ugly, and especially if we're considering the Dolphins and the Jets clearly better, that kind of tells you all you need to know. So let's move on there. Actually, why don't you give me your standings in this division just for the hell of it? I'm guessing Pats at the top, Bills at the bottom. Who do we have 2, 3?
I think I'll still say the Dolphins finish ahead of the Jets.
Yeah, I think I'm going to say Dolphins too.
All right.
Moving along, we've got the AFC North, which has experienced some shockwaves today. Le'Veon Bell not reporting. Who knows when he will report? It's weird for the Steelers. It's weird for fantasy owners, and it could be weird for this win total. I'm not quite sure how much it may sway some people. And actually, Joe, as I'm looking here, the win total is off the board, so I don't see it. This is interesting. Let me try to find it somewhere. With that being said, I'll go to the Ravens, who are 8.5. The over is minus 110. The under is minus 120.
I like the Ravens this year, actually. I like what they did with their offense. They kind of revamped it in a way that we haven't seen in a while. I mean, they had a pretty shitty offense around Joe Flacco the last few years. They brought in John Brown, Michael Crabtree, and Alex Collins looked pretty good towards the end of last year. So finally some weapons on the offensive end. Their defense was very good last year. I think the Ravens, I'm picking them to win the division this year. I like them to win over 8.5.
Yeah, I'm going to say under. I really don't like this team in terms of they seem to be stuck in the muck each year. I know they've improved to the weapons, but again, when your improvement is to Michael Crabtree and John Brown, how significant is that improvement?
I think they won 8 or 9 games with pretty much.
Yeah, I, I still think that the eight is the standard for the Ravens. That's what they're going to keep going. And I mean, I don't know. I think the Browns are going to be feisty. I think the Bengals are going to be feisty. I don't think that this division, I don't think it's going to be good, but I don't think any game is going to be a cakewalk. So I'm going to go with the under here for the Ravens at 8.5. The current line I'm seeing right now, not current line, but this is what we'll use. The Steelers, it's 10.5. The over is +110, and the under is -130. I think that's probably a fair estimation.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Regardless of the Le'Veon confusion.
All right, we just won the Pirates bet, Chris. Congratulations.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm gonna take under for the Steelers. I think this is kind of the year if things fall apart a bit for them.
Yeah, I kind of have the same feeling too. It's gonna happen eventually. It's gonna be it'll be interesting to see because they've had kind of the most success, longevity success by any team in the AFC, not named the Patriots. But the Patriots, their success seems much more sustainable. And I just don't really – I think the Steelers have been playing with fire a lot. I think Mike Tomlin is a bad coach. I think Ben Roethlisberger is getting very, very old and very, very banged up. And, you know, the rest of the team surrounding it, they've got great skill position players. But without Bell for who knows how long and then with everybody else, I'm just not sure if this team is going to get 11 wins. That's a lot to ask for. So
yeah.
I've got Pittsburgh – slightly under there, and I'm going to go under. The Cincinnati Bengals, their over-under is at 7. They've brought Marvin Lewis back for the 34th straight year, and the juice on the over is -120. The under is -110. I've been hearing some buzz for the Bengals here, Joe. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm hearing the same buzz. I don't know if I'm buying it. I'm going to go under with the Bengals. I think that last year was more of an indication of what they actually are than what everyone's kind of expecting them to bounce back and do this year. I'm not an Andy Dalton guy. I think that this team is just extremely undisciplined. How do you take a coach seriously that has never won anything for so long? I don't know how much these players even at this point are buying into Marvin Lewis's system. I don't like the Bengals. I'm taking the under 7.
Yeah, I'm going to take the under here too. I was going back and forth. I think 7's a good amount. There's a little less, tiny bit less juice on the under. I kind of agree there, Joe. There's not too much spectacular from this team. They may be the third or fourth best team in this division. And Cincinnati, you know, bringing back the same guy over and over, sure. They showed some fight when they were out of the playoff push last year, and that kind of kept Marvin Lewis there. But there's not much to like. The Bengals have made the playoffs in the Andy Dalton era before, but he's not that great of a quarterback. His weapons are okay. I mean, I'm not sold on Joe Mixon. A.J. Green had a down year last year. And one of their biggest issues, the offensive line, they didn't really address it in the way they needed to in terms of trying to make – a big comeback. So that being said, I will go under for the Bengals there. And finally, we're going to have the Cleveland Browns, who have won one game in the past 2 years. Their over-under is 6, -115.
Yeah.
Either way, everyone is all over the Browns. Are you buying into the hype, Joe?
Oh, man. I mean, that's a really high number. You know, if I take the Browns under here, though, I have 3 unders in the AFC North. I can't do it. I can't say that the Browns are going to go from an average of a half a win a year the past 2 years all the way up to 7 this year. I mean, I do like the Browns. I do think that they're going to be better than they've been and probably much better. But that is a humongous jump to just expect them to win 7 games this year. So I don't think they make that step. I'm going to go under.
Yeah, I'm going to go under too. I know I have the entire division going under. I'm not very high on it, no pun intended. But that is insane. 5 games, and it's not like you brought in like a Tom Brady-level quarterback or even a Jimmy Garoppolo-level quarterback. You've got Tyrod Taylor, who's okay. Baker Mayfield, who when he gets in there, if he gets in there, will take his lumps. And I think that the Browns, some of their talent will start to come to fruition now. But – it's going to take a lot more. It's going to take a while for this team to really, really improve. And I think four or five wins is a fair assumption. Six is too much. I'm going to go under there. And what do we got here for the division? I guess it's pretty safe to say for me that I probably have to go Steelers, Ravens, Bengals, and Browns because of – and I watch. This is a division that's going to get blown up because every year there's so much turnover in the NFL. There's so much change in who's good, who's not, who's in the playoffs. And I feel like it's hard not to default back to last year. But that's what I got, pretty much the status quo for the NFC North.
I think the Ravens are going to win the division. I see Ravens, Steelers, Browns, Bengals.
Okay. So Joe predicting the demise of the Steelers, I'm all on board with that. We've got 10 minutes left, and we're finishing out the AFC. We're finishing out the NFL. We've got football in 24 hours, less than that. Let's start with the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are the favorites, I believe, to win the AFC South. Their over-under is 9. The over is minus 135. The under is plus 115. I'll start it off just by saying I think they're going to go under. As I said before, I think the Jaguars are going to struggle this year. I think there's going to be some health regression, some defensive regression. I don't really love the offense. I think this team, you know, they were kind of fighting for a playoff spot towards the end of the season with Tennessee anyway. I don't think there's a huge separation there. I mean, they went into the playoffs, barely beat Buffalo at home, and we see what Buffalo is now. And then they went and beat the Steelers, who are an overrated team, as we just said, and had a great game against New England, but I just don't know if that's saying more about the Patriots than the Jaguars. So I like the under here. I don't think they're going to reach 9 wins, and I don't think they're going to get back to the playoffs.
Yeah, the Jaguars, I think I might have mentioned this last year, they kind of reminded me of the when the Niners emerged back, like, in 2012, around that time, with a maligned quarterback that had not had much success in the NFL, Alex Smith for the Niners, Bortles for the Jags, and then all of a sudden their defense kind of turned everything around. And everyone thought the Niners were going to come back down to earth after they went 13-3 the first year, and they didn't. I think the Jaguars' defense is so legit that it's not a crazy thought to think that this thing could continue. And Bortles, as much as you want to hate him, and as much as I don't necessarily think that he'll ever be, you know, a quarterback that you could rely on to win you games, he didn't play too bad in down the stretch last year. He was much better late than early. It's going to be all about confidence for him, and the only problem is that the receivers are kind of an issue. They're going to need someone to break out and be a stud receiver, whether it's D.D. Westbrook or one of the guys, you know, Moncrief, one of those guys. They lose Allen Robinson. This one's a really difficult one for me. But just because the juice is so high, I'll take the under, but I don't necessarily think the Jags are done. I think even if they, you know, I think they can get to 9 and still make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I just don't know. I mean, I get what you're saying about the Niners, but I guess for me, I usually tend to err on the side of caution and say that teams should prove it a little longer. And I think I'd like to see a little more out of Jacksonville and Blake Bortles on the offensive end. My pick to win the division, I've got the Houston Texans. Their over-under is 8.5. The over is minus 140. The under is plus 120. I talked about them earlier in the picks. I like them as a team. I like Deshaun Watson. I think the defense will be good this year. And I think they win the division. I think they get to 10 wins.
Yeah, I'm on board with that. I like Deshaun. He showed enough when he played last year to trust him, and the defense is good. Yeah, I'll take him over as well.
All right, then we've got Tennessee as we're winding down. Over is 8, minus 130. Under is 8, plus 110. They were close to winning the division last year. They've got a new coach. Will that unlock Mariota on the offense?
No, I got to go under 8, especially with that over juice there.
Yeah, I'm going to take the under, too. I kind of like Tennessee. I just think that they probably are still around an 8-win team until they prove otherwise. And just the fact that there's no guarantee their quarterback stays healthy, I like the under there just a bit more. And then we've got the Colts, a very interesting team. Speaking of healthy quarterbacks, their over-under is at 7. The over is minus 135.
Really,
the under
that
is plus 105. Yeah, Joe, we've seen what Andrew Luck can do with kind of a bag of balls at his disposal, but we don't know when Andrew Luck is coming. So I'm guessing you're going to go under here like me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you told me this is 100% Andrew Luck, I would consider taking the over just because, you know, he's been able to get this team to 8-9 wins even without really anyone supporting him. But, you know, he didn't even really look that great in the preseason. I got to take the under here.
Yeah, I'm going to go under as well. And let's finish it off with the AFC West, another division that seems kind of wide open. The Chargers are the favorite. Their over-under is 9.5. Minus 110 on the over, minus 120 on the under. This is the first time in a while I feel like that the L.A. Chargers have been the favorite to win this division. It's long been held by the Chiefs and Broncos. What do you got here, 9.5?
I mean, this has got to be the year for the Chargers, right? I mean, they're always hurt.
I guess.
I like them. I think they've shown enough in the past, especially last year. They were really, I mean – you know, they're always hit or miss. They're always inconsistent. But their defense finally came on last year, and that was really the impressive thing. I trust them this year. I think that they're going to get things done in this division. I don't think this division is very tough. I'm not high on the Chiefs or the Raiders. I think they win 9.5 this year. I'll take the over.
I'm very torn here. I want to go against the grain and take the under. 9.5.
Chargers were
number.
Real good towards the end of the year last year.
Yeah, I'll take the over here. I just with all the talent, I think that they've got it. Kansas City is over 8 minus 140, under 8 plus 120.
Yeah, I'm going to take the under with Kansas City. I think Mahomes will put up good numbers. Actually, I'm kind of regretting not taking a gamble on him in fantasy. It's just because Andy Reid throws so much, but he's going to have he's going to throw a lot of picks this year, in my opinion. I think that you know, he's going to definitely have his growing pains his first season, and I'll take the under for Kansas City.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with everything you just said. I like the under. I think they're not going to get more than 8 wins here. I think it's a safe play with that juice especially. The Broncos, my Broncos, I'll start it off. Over 7.5 plus 100, under 7.5 minus 130. I think that they're going to get a solid year out of Case Keenum. They've got your boy Royce Freeman, right? That's his name. He's going to run the show at running back, and it's going to be the first time that Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders have had a real quarterback in quite some time. And I like the defense to bounce back a little bit. They started to fall apart on the stretch. I know they lost some guys, but I think Denver's going to go over here. I think they're going to be a solid team.
Yeah, I'll dabble with the over here too. It's 7.5, you know, 8 wins. Going 8-8 is not overly complicated, especially, you know, when we're expecting bad years out of the Chiefs and the Raiders, or at least I am. So yeah, I mean, there's no reason to think this team won't be average.
Yeah, I just feel like everyone's kind of sleeping right now on them, and we will finish it off with the Oakland Raiders, who. I'm trying to find their over-under win total. I'm just realizing, too, what a disaster. Another team that's off the board here.
Why? Because Mac is gone?
It's looking like 7.5, and the under is minus 140, so maybe the over would be something like plus 110 or something. I'm not totally sure on that.
Maybe 120.
But, yeah.
Ugh, what do you have here?
I like the under. I don't love this Oakland team in general, despite the fact that I have them as one of my locks. I just don't think that they had a ton of talent outside of Mac. And I think I told you before the season, I know you like Carr, but I'm not a big fan. I think that he's in for a rough year with John Gruden, and especially that defense right now does not look very good. So I'm going under.
Yeah, I think the defense is going to be a major problem for them. I'll also take the under. I don't really have much else to say about the Raiders and not much else to say about the rest of this league here. With only 30 seconds remaining, that's all I got.
We're ready for some football. We wrapped you up well with this preview, and we're looking forward to the competition going forward with Beat the Brunch.
All right, good luck to Mike Gallo this week. And everybody, enjoy week one in the NFL. Can't believe it's back. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Sports Brunch. We will be back next week to recap week one. But until then, enjoy your first day of football with Philadelphia,
and Atlanta. Have a good one, everybody.